morning. It's good to be here with the Manerises in Scottsdale and Margaret Barrett. You can see the interrelationship in the body of Christ. It's a wonderful thing. It's something the United Nations will never figure out. How opposites can be one in a minute. Saturday night we were flying home from Houston, just there 24 hours for a funeral for a dear brother. And we got to the gate an hour and a half early, sat down next to a stewardess, who would be the stewardess on our plane. Afro-American. And the next hour, we had the most beautiful fellowship. She was from Atlanta. Prayed with her, had just such a glorious time. And I even mentioned to her at the time that something the United Nations could never figure out. How we could be so intimate in the spirit in such a short time. And this is the way we feel when we walk in here. We feel at home. And that's only the Spirit of the Lord can do that. Man can work his entire life to try. We often try that in marriage. In fact, that would be a good beginning for a marriage sermon. But you take a man and a woman, one from Venus and one from Mars, and try and hook them up and get them to be one in unity, praying for the children in oneness, disciplining in oneness. Only God can do that. And we suffer often because we do not go to the Lord, repent, and try and figure out things in a sort of a seesawing manner. Grew up on a farm, and in the 40s, we didn't have a tractor, but we had a team. So in the 40s and the early 50s, that's all I knew was a team. And particularly if you had a heavy load, invariably, one, we had a mare, her name was Lady. Lady would step out first, and Barney, the male, said, go to it. Well, if the load was heavy enough, it wouldn't work. And you would get that seesawing effect. And you have to immediately stop, steady them, and have them step out together and pull the load. It's a great spiritual principle. I thought of that this morning. Two or three. Here we are this morning. Just a small number. Everyone else in L.A. all hyped up about the Super Bowl. But two or three are enthroning the Lord. What a vocation we have. And say, something bigger than Washington, D.C. Something bigger than the up and down of Wall Street. And that is, the Lord Jesus is on the throne this morning. And when he's on the throne of our lives, there is oneness. And we can enjoy the Lord this morning. Let's open the word this morning to Luke 2. I'm going to read just a few verses here. We're going to concentrate just on one little fragment. The Lord Jesus being about the Father's business. But let's look at the context, starting with the 41st verse. Luke 2, 41. His, that is, Jesus' parents, went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, They went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of a feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them, came to Nazareth, and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Let's have a further word of prayer. Father, we're thankful for the privilege this morning of gathering around your table and remembering and proclaiming your death. And what a death it was. Not just 6 hours, but 33 and a half years of denying yourself, subjecting yourself to the Father, his plan and his purpose in thought, in word, in motive, deed, everything, Lord, was subject to the Father. Not your will, but his be done. And we come now, Lord, just to even see how you function in doing the Father's business, how we are to function in doing the Father's business. And so we pray that this next hour that we have together, Lord, would satisfy your heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last September, when we were here, we spoke on this little phrase in Psalms 51:6. "Behold," David quoting the Lord, "behold, I desire truth in the inner part." I desire reality. I think I have been around most of you enough to know that the word reality has been engraved deeply in my heart for 49, actually, this month, February. This month, February, 49 years. Next year, it'll be 50 years. When the Lord revealed himself in an extraordinary way, and I think a lot of you here can give testimonies of what happened in the late 60s and the early 70s. I'm speaking specifically of February of 71 in my own life. I wasn't looking for the Lord. I was saved. My walk with the Lord was taken care of. Now I was living unto myself. Funeral home, cemetery, beautiful wife, a beautiful daughter, living in the Pacific Northwest, loved to climb the mountains during the summertime. Heaven on earth. I wasn't looking for the Lord. But when the Holy Spirit moved, across this globe, a lot of us just were caught up wherever we were. It's just the way it was. Incidentally, just a commercial, something we need to pray about right now. Because I one time asked Lance if he thought that the Lord could come back without another movement of the Holy Spirit. And he answered very definitely. He sensed and felt that the Holy Spirit would need to be poured out again to just even ready us more. But when that happened in my own life, my life was business, first and foremost. Probably it might sound strange to most of you that I would be consumed with business, and the business being the funeral business. But being a believer, there was just this sort of innate, spiritual innateness that appreciated being able to help people in a time of need. And I can remember thinking when I was in the business for some time, I actually get paid for this. Something that I really enjoyed doing. No one enjoys death per se, or even look forward to it, but just that helping people. So the thing that happened at that time was the reality of Christ in a businessman's life. That was a whole new thought for me. I was 29, never thought of that. Christianity, Christ was Sunday, Wednesday night, Friday night. I don't remember a time when it wasn't that. It was those three times. But this was a completely new thought, that Christ, the reality of Christ in a businessman's life. My wife was a funeral director with me. A beautiful Icelandic blonde bore our child, and later a son. And as we were working in a funeral one day, the Lord just, and he often does this, just gets right into my face. And he just said, "Why, Dale, do you treat your secretary, who wasn't the most gorgeous thing in the world, different than your wife?" And the Lord spoke to me about the reality of Christ in marriage. And then the reality of Christ in raising children, the reality of Christ in body life, and the reality of Christ in all facets of your life. So I continue on this thought of reality. But using this text that we just read, where Jesus said, "I must be about my Father's business. I must be in his house," one of the translation states. What is the Lord's business? What was he talking about when he said that? I gave you this little testimony just as kind of a little hint to where we're going in the next few minutes. We get a hint right there in really Genesis 2, where God says, "It's not good for man to live alone." Now, we've heard that many times at weddings. It's a very typical reference to a couple getting married. And yet, it really refers first and foremost to the antitype, What did God have in his mind? It's not good that my son live alone. That he is thinking of a bride for his wife. That's the Father's business. Has always been to have this bride, a people who loves his son. He loves his son. It came out in the Lord's table this morning with an infinite love. Love has to have an expression. What can the Father give his son? A people that worship, a people that love, a people that are devoted, a people that are committed, and says, like we did this morning, that the Lord Jesus is everything. Where would we be today? I don't want you to go far in your thinking on this. But if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus, and all we have to do is look around to see how confused the world is. Probably a lot of us even would not be here. We would have found some way to destroy ourselves, spirit, soul, and body. I mean, that's just the natural intention of man. He doesn't know it. He's ignorant of it, to destroy himself without the Lord Jesus. And God has wanted a people. And it's kind of interesting. He takes his enemies, people that don't want him. All of us are enemies of the cross. And he says, I will make them affectionate people. I mentioned something too last time I was here because regarding Thornton. We got to live with Thornton those last 6 years. And I watched God, the wonderful shepherd, take a man who, I hope all of us, want the Lord, have a desire for him, and just prune away anything that could be a substitute. And I can remember saying, even in the last few days of Thornton's life, our brother Stern's life, an unbribed soul. You could have said, Thornton, you want the Lord? Or do you want a healthy body for 10 more years? Money? Position? See, Thornton had a sort of a silver spoon life in one sense, being a surgeon, a good surgeon, which allowed him to have the finances and things. But Helen and I watched. None of those things had a hold on him. It became the Lord. It was the Lord Jesus, 24/7. He was about the Father's business, even in aging. Aging is one of the great and last opportunities the Lord has. And you see the wisdom of the Lord. He just dries up all the stuff that we even want to do. Can't do it. And the road gets narrow, and pretty soon, it's just Jesus. We can't even look in the mirror and see very much. It's just him. The wisdom of God, purifying of heart, cleansing, unbribed soul. That's the Father's business, is to have a people where he is the center. Genesis 3, in the cool of the day, he would come down. And we see his purpose right there. God created this universe, could be in one of the trillion, and now they say there are more than 2 trillion galaxies, not only on planet Earth, but with a certain people. And at that point, there was just 2, Adam and Eve. I've come here to be with you. That's what he wanted. That's what he desired. That's why we were created. That is the Father's business. That's his purpose. To sum up all things in Christ, and that includes his bride. You just can't have, sometimes we think of that verse, sum up all things in Christ. So Christ is everything. But that would include a bride that is all Christ. Nothing attached and held on to this earth. We have a lot of examples of this. We could go through the tabernacle, the temple, and then we see the church in the New Testament where Christ is, God is in the center of that little motley group of people in the wilderness. He's there demonstrating what is on his heart. When we turn to Hebrews, if you would with me for a moment, just look at a couple of examples of using that word, unbribed souls, but men and women who were about the Father's business. Verse 4, Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts through it, he being dead, still speaks. We are about the Father's business by faith. And here we see Abel saying, I can't bring an offering to the Lord. We were looking at Sunday school class this morning, the various whole burnt offerings, and the sin offering, which speaks of the Lord. Abel saw that I can't be about the Father's business. Only the Lord Jesus. And I believe we begin there. The Lord Jesus is the one and only one that's ever been about the Father's business. Any attempt on our part is to no avail. Every thought, every word has to come out of the life of Christ, his humble life, or otherwise it just falls to the ground. A more excellent sacrifice, and that sacrifice is the Lord Jesus. And God could say, well done, I accept that. We see that in the story. And it was a witness of what? The righteousness of Christ. Not Abel's righteousness. God saw Abel's heart that it was, I'm unworthy. I can't. But I bring you Christ. He learned that from his parents probably. And it satisfied the father's heart. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken so that he did not see death. His life was one of communion with the Lord. He lived, starting at age 65, for 300 years, Enoch lived as unto the Lord. I am the Lord's. It was an excellent example. And the Lord says, that's all I want. I am taking you 500 to 600 years before his contemporaries. They'll live much. He was about the Father's business for those 300 years. And the Father says, come home. I think of that when people were taking young. I think of Oswald Chambers, 43 years of age. He's just like, come home. This is what I want. The Father's business is a heavenly business. It's a spiritual business. And it's what counts. It's what is forever. Not how much fame here on this earth. How much glory on this earth. Last Saturday in Houston, and this is quite a statement, I witnessed one of the most, if not the most beautiful, memorial service of all the hundreds and thousands of memorial services that I have been part of and seen and heard. Unbribed soul, young man, 60 years of age. 2 weeks ago, Sunday morning, he got up and he gave a 58-minute message. Wonderful message. After the message, he went to another fellowship and prayed for the young people from 1 to 4 with several other brothers and sisters. Went home, took a shower, and never left the shower. That was it. 60 years of age. 10 people got up last Saturday and gave 2 to 3 minute testimonies. Son, sister, colleague at work, old guy like me, a high schooler that he was presently involved in. There's 50 high schoolers there. Post-high schooler, and a number of others. Total of 10. Half an hour, just 2 to 3 minutes. There was a common thread throughout that hour plus memorial service. Didn't matter. Young, old, whoever got up. This man, Lawrence Bassa, was consumed with the Lord Jesus. No, he was obsessed with the Lord Jesus in a very practical, living way. He wasn't a freak, just another thread right alongside how he loved his mother, his 90-year-old mother. She was there, right there in the front row, hearing all of this. How he loved Chet, his wife, and son Levi. And we heard the son say that, and we heard the sister say it, and the different ones. And what impressed me was all of that, of course, but when a colleague who worked with him the last 20 years in a very technical job, he has to differentiate between the weight of snowflakes. That's how technical it is. He became an expert in that whole field. But this colleague spoke of this man's work ethics, devotion to the company. It was well-rounded about the Father's business. By faith, Noah prepared an ark. That's our job, for the Lord to dwell, hidden in Christ. This is what we pray about. Noah was able to provide a haven for his family. his years. First 500 years, growing up like all of us, and then that next 100 years, preparing that ark about the Father business. And all of these examples, we're not talking of professional spiritual leaders. We're talking about everyday people. And this is the point. And I think we miss it often. And of course, we see how there in the eighth verse, Abraham, about the Father's business, just following. It really comes down to obeying. He heard the Lord, and he obeyed, and he moved about, all the time learning, making mistakes. But what happened in these men's lives was that there was this, they were captured by Christ. And it ruled their life. They did not have a life, as it were, of their own. When we go a little bit further, we see people like Ruth. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your God will be my God. Your people, my people. What captures our attention on that woman was her mother-in-law. There was something in her mother-in-law that captured her. The Moabites didn't have anything to do with Israel. And there was this thing that she had seen in her mother-in-law. She said, I want that. And it captured her for life. And you see how then the Lord used that. He takes the weakness. He takes the least expected. He takes the Rahabs. He takes the Ruths. And he puts them in the lineage, which we are. We're in the lineage of Christ. What a place to be in a very living and practical way. Esther was about what? Beauty contest. Until pressure often. But before Esther, just want to mention another sister comes to my mind, and that is Hannah. Suffering. Pressure. These things that the Lord puts in our environment are the things that leads us. We're thankful for the Word. The Word has to be our daily diet. This is where we get our direction. This is where the standard is. But then, when we walk out, the Lord has not just confined to here. He is over the whole environment. And the environment then begins to what? Press us here. Presses here. This came up. This unknown thing. God is behind it. Omniscient God is behind it. All-knowing God. All-present God. All-powerful God is behind that environment, wielding, using the rod, using the staff, directing our steps as we walk in the Father's business, as we are about the Father's business, relying totally upon him for wisdom to meet that. Not Google, not man, not getting on the phone. What do? It's, Lord, help me with this. Show me this. That's the Father's business. Inquiring constantly. One lesson we can learn just in the Old Testament, when they did not inquire of the Lord, defeat. Disaster every time. Didn't matter how insurmountable the problem was. When they inquired of the Lord was right there. It didn't matter how crazy they were the day before. Once there was that repentance, there was an order there, there was great repentance. Lord, yesterday we did not inquire. We fouled up. We really screwed up. But we go to you, and we're again about the Father's business. Esther was there at that right time. Hannah was there. Hannah, I want a son. And this is what I'm talking about. I think it's one of the best examples there is. I'm not getting my way. I am offended. And I don't know a sister who would not be offended in that household when this other wife was taunting. But God used that to press her, to press her, to press Hannah. And when we read the first and second chapter of Samuel, again in that second chapter, you start to see a heart change in Hannah. Hannah wants the Father's business. What's the Father's business? To have sons and daughters that love him. Oh, there's a purpose. What is the Father's business? To have a people. Her prayer changes. Give me a son, and he's yours. And I'd like to just say something right there. So important. We're enemies of the Lord, and therefore there is nothing on this earth, it's really ours. We've been bought with a price, totally undeserved. And now we are his. Eyes, his. This is why what we see on the internet, we're either about the Father's business, with his eyes, with his ears, with his mind. We have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. A heart that's passion for the Lord. Feet shod with the preparation of peace. Being the gospel in our walk. These hands serving him, helping others. This is our calling. We are, Paul calls it doulos, bondslave of the Lord Jesus. I am a bondslave. I have no rights. I have nothing in my hand. Jesus was the perfect prototype of that, the perfect person. He had nothing. I have not a pillow. We have these things. We're in the world. But nothing is ours. We don't touch it. If it's taken from us, God allowed that. It's not our car. It's his. It's his home. Here's where it gets very personal. It's his marriage. We are his. It's his children, not my children. These should be our children, not my. It's not our children. Hannah teaches us this valuable lesson. They are his. His responsibility. We pray for them together. It changes our whole perspective. When we read the Bible in this light, it changes the whole Bible. The Bible becomes a whole new book. It's not trying to get a promise from me. Everything is from him. It's through him. It's by him. It's what? For him. It's not 38 minutes around the Lord's table. Oh, Lord, here's your turtle dove. Oh, he wants that every second of the day. Now, you see the problem the Lord has. Is that clock right? What? You see that the problem that the Lord has, the day you and I are born, we're already programmed. It's called the sin. If you want to put a title to the software that's in this 185 pounds, it is sin. Through and through. You can see it in a five-day-old baby and a month-old baby. It's there. And this baby has to be reprogrammed. And it starts with what? Jesus, come into my heart. The Lord has a little beachhead there now. But this soul is what? Me, 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 me. And it has to be reprogrammed by the living word. Not the letter of the law that kills and causes legalism, but the living word, Jesus, getting in and giving him a little more room. And just as I just said, oh, pretty soon, oh, our marriage is the Lord's. Oh, the children are the Lord's. About the time, if we learn that when our children are 2 years old, we wouldn't have to go through the terrible twos. We'd say, Lord, because there's no such thing as the terrible twos in the Bible. We'd say, Lord, you got to do something. This child is stubborn. And the parents fall on their face. Say, Lord, I need a new spirit. I need a new spirit here. There's much opposition to being in the Lord's business, being about the Lord's business. Since it's Super Bowl day, we'll start with football. Entertainment. Nothing wrong with football. If you have plans to watch a football game, that's fine. But the thing is, does it have our heart? Is it an idol? Is it important? What if something comes up, I miss it? Is that okay? Or is this whole week been one thing? Football. Festivity. Fun. Food. All relates just to this one afternoon, this evening. And the world is banking on it. This is something for the whole month of January. And if you want to go back to August, to when the season began, I'm using that just as one example. Fashion. I mentioned the word food. If you want to do an eye awakening study, look at the word eating and drink, eating in the Bible. Where did food come in the third chapter of Genesis? It looked good to the eye, looked good to the taste. What was the first temptation of Jesus? And you'll see all through the Bible, it's something that easily becomes what? Important, becomes an idol, becomes the center of our life, rather than eat to live, living to eat. Fads are things that hindrance being about the Father's business. So there's all these things that occupy us and that hinder us from being 24/7 about the Father's business. In the Father's business, it doesn't matter what our avocation is. Our avocation could be teaching, it can be some profession, it can be raising children, it can be a caregiver, whatever our avocation is. Our vocation is the Father's business. Loving Him and loving one another. How do we go about our Father's business? I'm going to end with this. I didn't realize how fast the time has gone this morning. It seemed like I just started. Matthew 5. Verse 3. How are we to be about the Father's business? How is this to be a reality? Many things could be said, but here's just a few verses. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There Christ is king. There He is. His kingship is in place. He rules when there is, and that's what we've been talking about the last hour, is we are poor in ourselves. No capability. The principle in the Bible, in weakness, we're made strong. In every area, whether it's wisdom, whether it's patience, whether it's our impatience, a lack of wisdom, whatever area in our life that we're weak in, that gives the opportunity for the Lord to come in. And the most, it's wonderful to wake up in the morning bankrupt spiritually and just, Lord, I need your life today in every area. Even if we think we have a handle on it, we don't. Because the Lord, in control of the environment, makes sure that there is something that is beyond us. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. How many of us? I'm speaking of myself. I do not have the travailing heart that the Lord does. He wants to give that to us. He wants us to mourn over the things that's on His heart. That's our business. Our children, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, where are they? Do they love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength? What is our business? To cry out to the Lord. To repent. Be a repentant heart. If we haven't repented in the last 24 hours, it's questionable whether we're walking with the Lord. When we're walking with the Lord, when the Lord is revealing to us His mind on things, His heart on things, there's a lot to repent about. And repent means to turn around and say, I'm going to be about the Lord's business. I'm following Him. I want Him in this situation. I want Him to be all. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Moses was meek. What's that mean? He's teachable. We're not teachable. I'm not teachable by nature. I think we are the most thin-skinned people there are. And that includes everybody. Some people might have a little bit thicker, but naturally speaking, it does not take much to get under our skin. Someone says something and we bristle. Well, and they don't even have to say something. What did he mean by that? Were you insinuating something? Now that is thin skin. I mean, look where the Lord and all the stuff that he took, the words, the accusations, the false judgments, the rejected, false judging. That's the life we want in us. That's the life. Blessed are the meek. These are the characteristics of Christ, all of these. He's the only one. Truly, He's the blessed one. And we have it, of course, by faith. And we walk by faith. every minute. And the blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. There's one righteous. Where do we hunger and thirst? Captured, possessed, mastered by the Lord, and yes, obsessed. That's where God wants. Obsessed with this person. So he gets in us. Oh, how needless pain we bear because we do not appropriate, pray by faith this unsearchable riches of Christ, this blessing in Ephesians 1:3, these heavenly spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ. That's the business we're about. Laying hold of this life, being a bride made ready ourselves, praying for our families that they all be ready. As the confusion in this world intensifies, the closer we, the closer the day of the Lord will be here. We see how much more is the Lord gonna put up with. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. There's one who is merciful. Brothers and sisters, one of the most difficult lessons in my life has been to be merciful to just even family, brothers and sisters. It's not in us naturally. We constantly have to be reminded by the Lord to lay hold of this most important pillar is to see, defer to one another. Look at others in the light through the prism of Christ, the way he sees, for God so loved the world. Look who he has loved. Look who he has saved. Look who he has saved in this room. Who of us are worthy? Who do we think we are to look down or to judge, to walk out of here today and say, what did that person look at me that way for? We don't have any authority to do that, any reason at all. It's a shame. In fact, it brings out to us how fallen we are. It's just this one area of how lack of mercy. His mercy is new when every day. And I am so thankful for that every morning. Because tomorrow morning, the third day of February, we're going to have the Lord's mercy. Just to pass the basic test of any of these scriptures. Because only the Lord passed this. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Do we want to become sons and daughters of the Lord in his business, about the Father's business? Peacemakers. It's so easy to be trapped by murmuring, complaining. Someone said, oh, it's too hot today. I see this in Arizona. We don't get much rain. It rains 2 days in a row, and people are complaining because they can't play golf. It so shows our nature. It's so wicked. It's so self-centered. My parade. Oh, may we be the peacemaker. When someone says something, bring it up a notch. By the filling of the Holy Spirit. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, the word will just come immediately that we can just say, oh, we need the rain. We've only had 2 inches, and it's July all year. We bring peace through prayer. We see in our children problems, marriages in our families, not good. Close our mouth to the situation and open our mouth to the Lord. Lord, you got to heal the land. Humble ourselves before the Lord. Repent ourselves. And then two people, it can be a friend, it can be a spouse, fall on our knees before the Lord. That's really our business, is to pray, to intercede, take dominion over these situations. The fields are white under harvest. We can walk out here and just keep praying. Every time I thought, but we are so into ourselves that the Holy Spirit can't even whisper in our ear a problem. We're just busy about our own little life. And God cannot use us in his business. Jesus, whatever he saw, casting out a demon, touching this leper situation, all those are spiritual issues. We kind of get caught up in the physical aspect of it. But the issue is spiritual. Whether it's a man that's been on a pallet for years, what are we supposed to do? Those four men picked him up, bring him to Jesus. That's all we do. That's prayer. Bringing all these situations to the Lord in prayer constantly. Just constantly. Not fretting, not worrying, not gossiping, not, did you hear this happen? Instead of saying that, we need to pray right now for this person. That's being a peacemaker. That's being about the Father's business all the time. Well, we got started on this subject. Finish some other time. Father, what a wonderful privilege, vocation, honor to be about your business of redemption, of saving, first of all ourselves, Lord, by falling at the foot of the cross, and then, Lord, just praying as Paul did, without ceasing, night and day, praying for these different churches, just consumed with the spiritual realm, the unseen realm, not flesh and blood, but bringing the people around him and presenting them to you to heal the brokenhearted. Oh, thank you, Lord, that we've been called to such a place, just like Esther, at a certain time in history, 2020, which is going to be a horrible year in every way outwardly. But we hide in the secret place of the Most High. And we pray by your Spirit in us. Burden us, Lord, to step up into our place, this on high calling. You have placed us in as your servants, as your bond servants. I pray for each person here now, even the rest of this day. Lord, as we visit with one another, visit others, but we will hear of things where you want to come in. May we pray, even secretly, bring one another to the Lord. Bear one another's burdens constantly. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.